The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Yeah.
Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Kelly, you're on vacation next week?
Vacation next week? I'll tell you, though, my week's already getting screwed up right now. I'm just thinking this is like having Bill Krakenberger in on a Monday or a Tuesday or something. We got Chris Felica coming on next. Like, what is this, Friday? Like, this is Friday?
Chris Felica standing by. Will Hill will join us later. Paul Spohr, not to be outdone. I love that. I love that phrase. Not to be outdone.
Only one for Will today. Only one.
Only one. We got two for Chris coming up. We get tweets beating the book, Jason H11. Of course, New York only offers make the cut bets, not miss the cut.
Oh, yeah, you're also going to find a lot of shops that are not going to let you parlay.
Yeah. Jesse Welch, I wonder what a Haaland, Mbappe, Messi all score a goal parlay would have paid yesterday. What tournament we have here on our home soil? Well, I don't know the answer to that offhand, but I'll tell you what I do know the answer to from Jamie Leva. He said he took a long shot on the Stars to each score two goals. Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. You too. He had those very three, Mbappe, Messi, and Haaland, each to score over 1.5 goals, as far as I can tell on this. It was just those three, and it paid 68 plus to one. Wow. That's the thing. Also, as long as what we've learned very quickly here in the World Cup, people randomly are hitting the most awesome, ridiculous bets.
What a fun bet that is.
Don't
too,
try
right?
these at home.
You're just betting the Stars to score goals. It's great.
And to have that build all day long.
Yeah.
Billy Charlebois, in regards to offshore books and betting bad lines, one day I noticed three major mistakes on first inning lines. I hammered all three. I went 2-1. They voided the two I won and not the one I lost. Good luck with customer service. Lesson learned. Yeah. That's the thing with non-regulation.
That's an offshore one, yep.
Chris Heath, over the years, I've had anywhere from a six-pack to nine golfers that I back for majors like this, but golf hasn't been too good for me. Two bullets this week in Hatton and Reed. He's on the Patrick Reed train as well. Patrick Kelly, you should listen to the clubbing at 1.5 speed or 2x speed. More streamer video game than tropical drink in the clubhouse. Oh, yeah, we should do that next time. So can we speed that up next time?
Probably.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He works at Fox Sports. You may know him as Chris Felica. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. He joins us now not only to talk World Cup, but also U.S. Open. Christopher, good morning. Is there anything better than the U.S. Open and the World Cup for you? This must be nirvana.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's great. It's terrific. But don't forget about the NBA draft next week. We're not going to lose a single wager when it comes to the NBA draft. So good at that.
What are you going to go 0-0 in that 0-0? Is that what your record's going to be?
Or zero and whatever. Yeah, right now I'm very proud of myself. I have zero NBA draft bets, but we all know that's going to change.
Yeah.
By now.
We got what is it now? Exactly 6 days from the NBA draft first round.
Yay!
I'm right with you. No bets so far, but that will end. All right, today, let's start with today in the World Cup quadruple header, beginning with Portugal and the Democratic Republic of Congo. How do you go on this one?
Well, this is kind of the internet joke of the day going around now. Christian Ronaldo isn't going to pass once. He's going to take a million shots just because of the three stars yesterday scoring twice. But this is Portugal to win 2-0. They're going to have all the ball. The midfield is so good. Maybe Ronaldo does score a goal. I bet Portugal to win 2-0 minus 115. I don't know what it is right now. Again, I write these things up like a day ahead of time, and I have not checked what the price is right now. But Portugal will win this. It feels pretty straightforward. Win 2-0 is my play here.
All right. England and Croatia follows that. You have a couple bets in this one.
Yeah, much like I had written up that I thought Spain were going to kind of be a little bit workmanlike and France would come out and struggle a little bit with Senegal early on. And I got wins and fortune in both of those. Read that handicap. I think this is going to be a similar thing. Croatia is a very grizzled veteran team. This is going to be like their last major or probably the last tournament, I should say, together. I put first half draw plus 125 and under 2.5. Minus 144. Well, there you go. 130 There we go there. Better price. We have seen, what, just the one nil-nil draw in the tournament so far, the Spain Cape Verde one. Thomas Tuchel, I can see this being another a bit of a bog. Slow start, and then maybe being able to get one in the second half, win 1-0, something like that. But, yeah, this is going to be a very deliberate, boring, defensive-minded game. We saw England in Euros a couple of years ago, granted with a different manager. Their matches were brutal to watch, and I see no reason they should be different with Thomas Tuchel. So first half draw and under 2.5 for the match.
First half draw, under 2.5 for the match, Croatia and New England. Before we move on to the second part of the day, in your many soccer travels, England sort of triggers this in my brain. In your many soccer travels, which, in your opinion, is the nation whose fans have the most non-commensurate excitement about their team than actual talent? Like, who are who's the most delusional fan base, in your opinion?
Probably England, just because they it's kind of like the old, like, Notre Dame fan, or the old, like they haven't won anything in forever, but you kind of get, it's like generational. It's like, you root for England, and they haven't won anything in 60 years, and they still get valued and treated as a favorite. And I think the fans every year think that they have the talent. And what people don't realize, I think, about the Prem, I shouldn't say everyone, but most of the players from the Prem come from other countries. So it's not like with England, when it comes to international competitions, whether it's Euros or the World Cup, it's not like you're taking an all-star team of the English Premier League. These players are going to play for their home nations.
So sort of like Knicks fans. Oh, wait a minute. I'm being told the Knicks have just won the...
Well, there we go. There's
being
a good
told,
parallel.
That's right. Being told the NBA championship has happened.
That it all ends.
And the Knicks have won it.
Who won game six last night, by the way? Spurs didn't blow that 30-point lead, right?
Cavaliers are still playing the Eastern Conference Analytics title. They're still playing that.
Bobby Geddes and I are working on a best of 13 bet still, okay? So, yeah, it's
perfect.
All right.
We're still rolling.
That's right. How many games would it have taken the Spurs to hold leads? Would it have been a best of 11, a best of 13? What would it have been? Okay, let's go to the second half of today, beginning with Ghana and Panama.
Yeah, I have to write up a little bet for the With Fox website every day. This match, who the hell knows? I've been fortunate so far in the couple of matches where I really had no idea. Like, it was like, you know what? Keep it simple. Go with, like, an anytime goal contribution. So that's what I did here. Antoine Semenyo, at least one goal or assist plus 150. Panama is one of the poorer CONCACAF teams, like, to get in. There should be a goal here. So best player, the Paul Carr, take the better team to win. Take the best player on the pitch to either score or have an assist.
All right. That definitely sounded...
Yeah, please forgot about it.
That sounded like I must write a blurb for FoxSports.com. I don't
Correct.
Really feel this one, bet. Okay. All right.
Correct. But yeah, if I had to do something, this would be it.
Uzbekistan and Colombia. The nightcap.
This feels like target practice for Colombia. A game being played in Mexico. They'll have a massive crowd advantage here. Colombia over 14.5 shots, minus 135. Colombia first half, minus 120. The Colombia is a dark horse type of team. It feels like their work rate, especially early on, they will get an early goal. They'll take a lead into halftime and continue firing away with the talented players that they have, like Luis Diaz and Casiano.
All right, let's move into tomorrow. Why not? We won't have you here tomorrow. So let's talk about tomorrow.
What's this?
Czechia takes on South Africa. Where are you going there?
This is another one where it's like South Africa were terrible. I mean, they were really, really bad against Mexico in the opener. And then Czechia had the 1-0 lead against South Korea. And then the manager oddly took off the best goal scorer, Patrick Schick, and the most creative player, Pavel Schultz. And, of course, South Korea scored twice and wound up winning. The loser is eliminated here. I do expect Czechia to win, and I took Schultz to anytime goal or assist plus 175 because I don't think they will make the mistake of subbing him off the way they did in match one, and they're also facing a much weaker side in South Africa that'll probably be open for business.
Yeah, once again, today, the final day of the game ones of the group stage. Tomorrow, the first day of the game twos of the group stage. Bosnia and Switzerland follows that one tomorrow.
I mean, Switzerland did everything but finish in the first game against Qatar, literally and figuratively, had a massive shot advantage, couldn't hold the 1-0 lead. If they do that again, it'll even out. Bosnia were pretty meh. Canada weren't very good for the longest time in that opener. Bosnia were kind of meh as well. Mbolo, Ndoye, Switzerland, as long as they continue to do what they did in that first match, and they'll get lucky. So I played Switzerland to win 2-0 and Switzerland over 14.5 shots were the two ways I looked at this. They'll be desperate.
Canada and Qatar, two teams that come off ties in the first game of their group stage. Qatar in dramatic fashion in the 94th minute. Which way are you going here?
Canada went to nil. Canada over 16.5 shots. I would expect Jesse March to start Kyle Larin in the 11. They were a completely different team when he came on. He got the goal to get them the point. Qatar were terrible against Switzerland. They were so lucky to get the point. I don't know how much talent they have. They'll probably play a similar game. Canada to win 2-0. Canada over 16.5 shots. This feels like a pretty straightforward Canada win.
Okay. We'll come back with Chris. One more game to get to tomorrow. Korea and Mexico in a match for the group, in a match that means a whole bunch to a certain apartment in San Francisco, by the way. I want to point that out as well. Oh, big doings tomorrow night. And then his thoughts on the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season may still be months away, but the best bettors are already preparing for it. Next week, VSiN releases NFL Betting Guide. We are 5 days away from that, packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races, in the upcoming season. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Poke Therapy wants to know on Twitter, Kelly, is Paul Carr back on the show again this week? Yes.
Yeah, he'll be back on Friday, 11:45 Eastern time.
There you go. Aaron, a.k.a. Parlay All Day. He said, after draw day Monday, I threw this brain-dead parlay together. Thanks to you and Kelly for a great show each day. By the way, my wife's birthday is the 21st of September. Greatest birthday ever? Do you remember? He hit a four-leg parlay. France -1.5, Norway -1.5, Argentina -1.5, and Austria -1.5 yesterday. 25-1. How about that?
Whew.
Nice good job, Aaron. Milk Gallon, had enough hearing all the Morocco love, found a 55-1 for them to win it all, just wanted to give your Spurs ticket some company. good bets that won't catch. And Las Vegas 514, yo, the pure excellence that is Messi, the skill, the talent, the pure dominance I haven't seen since somebody named Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Messi alone will make me watch more World Cup than I had planned to. Absolutely spectacular. And Billy Charlebois, I'm someone who doesn't watch soccer, but I want to get interested in it. I heard that Messi scored a hat trick, so I tuned in to watch the highlights on SportsCenter. All they had were still shots that immediately lost me.
Oh, probably World Cup licensing issues.
FIFA and Fox and all that, yeah. All right, U.S. Open, 24 hours away. Special numbers game investigation reveals the United States Open begins tomorrow at Shinnecock Hills, where the weather is the situation, or really the headline, I should say. We'll find out what the situation is from our buddy Rick Gaiman, who joins us now from Shinnecock Hills. He, of course, is a golf data analyst at CBS Sports. He, of course, has his own website, rickrungood.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at rickrungood. It's Rick Gaiman, everybody. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well, guys. Yeah, I'm here. I'm excited. The golf course looks awesome. It's rugged. I like using that word. So yeah, I'm very stoked for the week. I think this is my favorite USGA venue, so this should be a good one.
Let's get this out of the way first because I don't want to run out of time. What are you involved in? A Splash Sports contest as well you're doing?
Yeah, we've got a big $200,000 guaranteed for the tiers contest this week. Obviously, we've had the one and done stuff run. I can't get into that anymore, but the tiers contest for this week is a big one indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
So multiple at Splash. Go sign up. That's for all
right.
of them.
That's right.
Do it.
Rick, I assume you're there for CBS. Is that a correct assumption? And if so, not.
Sorry. Well, no, this is more of a Rick Rungood endeavor. Okay. Yeah, so there's actually a fantasy golf forum that I'm speaking on a little bit later today. Wow. The USGA is kind of embracing things a little bit more. So yeah, it'll be this is Rick Rungood boots on the ground.
My apologies. Let me just start with I have a sincere apology. How are you taking this in? Are you going to be on the course itself?
Yeah, so last couple of days I spent a lot of time walking the golf course, and then I'll be out there obviously as play gets underway. I'll have to bounce early before the conclusion of the tournament because I got to go to Florida to do some PGA Tour live stuff. But yeah, listen, I want to be out there, right? And I love getting out there and seeing how this course is playing. I'll tell you right now, fairways are easy to hit, but it's going to be harder closer to the hole that you get. They're preparing for just devastating winds tomorrow. I mean, some of the forecasts are like 40 mile an hour gusts, 50 mile an hour gusts, depending on where you're looking. So the staff is out there working pretty hard to make sure this thing doesn't get away from them.
Is it your understanding that it favors one time of day over another, or does this feel pretty blanketed over tomorrow?
The afternoon is going to be bad. Now it's just a matter of like, does the wind start rolling in at 2 o'clock, or does it start rolling in at 10 a.m. and everybody gets a little bit of it? I think that's the big question. If I had a hunch, I'd say you want to go out early tomorrow. I think that's going to be the better side of it. I don't think you're going to be able to avoid it all, and there's a chance that it gets everybody. So it's certainly worth being out in the morning, but I don't think it's a prerequisite for holding the trophy on Sunday.
Okay. How did you end up betting this then? Where did you land?
So the two big wagers have come one guy in the afternoon, one guy in the morning. I'm doing a little bit of an opposites thing. We've got Matt Fitzpatrick, who is one of the best players in the world this year, hits it really low. His apex is like 90 feet. It's one of the lowest on tour. He works the ball in multiple directions. You're going to need to do that at Shinnecock. He's got this unbelievably creative short game. I just think he's ready to do it. So Matt Fitzpatrick is one. And then I went a little bit deeper out of the morning wave to Chris Goddard, you guys. And Chris Goddard's already got a couple of wins this year. I don't think he gets enough credit for his short game. This is a very links-style golf course, at least American-style links. And Goddard won the Scottish Open last year. He nearly won the Open Championship the following week. His driver is a weapon. I think it's going to be pretty random, though. You know, I don't mind going farther down the board, getting away from the Scotty and the Rory conversation at the top. I think I don't think it's a fair golf course, fellas. Like, I think you're going to hit a good shot and kind of get rejected in some ways. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
You might have already answered this, but where are you on Scotty at this point then? Too short of a number all across the board?
Yeah, just too short for me this week. I'm not afraid to go down into those depths, but there's been some really good stats about like how you have to have great distance control for this week, how you've got to hit it to the middle of the green. He's been worse at that than previous years. There's also this lingering, we saw it at Pinehurst recently, where Scotty doesn't like bad luck, right? Like Scotty likes to hit a really great shot. He likes to execute and he likes to get rewarded for it. And I do worry a little bit about catching a bad break and that kind of spiraling through the rest of his game, which has happened. And when the number is as short as it is, I need to be pretty committed to the player.
He's really understanding when his caddy suggests the wrong club also. Really super understanding.
Yeah, he's very good
at that.
Yeah.
Is there a name that you haven't heard mentioned beyond the ones, Goddard, because I actually asked about Goddard specifically yesterday because I felt like no one's talking about him. So I love hearing that from you. Is there another name sort of deep down, or maybe not even deep down? Let's take it beyond the Scheffler, McIlroy, Rahm group at the top.
Sure.
In that next tier, is there someone that you think is most sort of their game fits this course the best?
Yeah, I think there's the game that fits the course is Ludvig Åberg, right? I mean, he's a fantastic tee to green player, but I do want to go a little bit deeper than that to Patrick Reed. And that is just a guy who fits major championship golf. So he has only played twice since the beginning of March because he hasn't had to. So he's only played the two major championships. He's played well in both of them. I was just out there this morning. he is walking around here. That was the most well-prepared practice round I have seen in a major championship in a really long time. He knew exactly what he wanted to accomplish. He was playing by himself. He did not even look at where the pin is being placed today. He went to all the spots he knows the pins are going to be. He wasn't doing that thing, guys, where like they look around and they're like, should I hit a couple shots from here or should I not? He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He looked in complete control of his game. I really love Patrick Reed in the way that he's leading into this.
Wow. That makes me want to fire on Reed immediately.
That's a pretty good note there. Yeah. Rick, do you have any updates or anything you've noticed out of some of the guys that are coming in with some of the injuries? We know Brooks sounds like he's going to give it a go, but he's dealing with a hand. You've got Morikawa. We got Jake Knapp teeing it up. How are you approaching those guys this week?
Yeah, so a little bit different. I mean, Brooks is not a pain issue, which is good. It's not a pain tolerance thing. It's just it kind of feels weird and he doesn't have the right amount of pressure. I would argue that's probably not great around a place like this. I walked six holes with Jake Knapp yesterday. He looks like he's going full throttle. You know, for Jake Knapp, full throttle is this very sweet tempo, very smooth. He doesn't put a lot of pressure on it. His coach said he's good to go. He looked a little bit rusty to me, which makes sense because it's been some time away from him, but he looks healthy. The one that I did, I had a note on Cameron Young. He's got like everything taped up. His right wrist is taped up. He's got something on the hand. He's got the KT tape down the left forearm. He looked a little bit, I'll just say, uncomfortable on the range today. Like the ball wasn't working in the direction he wanted it to work. So all in all, I think I'm mostly just avoiding those guys. I wouldn't mind a flyer on Jake Knapp because it's just Rusty's got to knock off and he's had such a great year. If you believe his coach, he's healthy, he's ready to rock and roll. So that's the one that I would take a flyer on, but I'm not super stoked about any of these guys.
Yeah. Rick, let me sort of ask it a different way. Obviously, with the weather being such a factor here, and we've seen golfers get frustrated on this course in the past in dramatic ways, only 3 under par scores the previous 4 U.S. Opens played here at Shinnecock Hills, which is just amazing. I cannot wait to watch the frustration. But what's the biggest name, therefore, getting to the question, that you feel might crap out so bad they might even miss the cut because of that kind of frustration?
I think Bryson's the logical one because of how many different shots are required around the green, and he uses one length irons, which is going to be impossible in a lot of these scenarios. Like, I don't know what he's going to do around the greens. That's one. Cam Young, I do think there's a large range of outcomes for Cam Young, fellas. I wouldn't be super surprised to see him miss the cut just because I think he's dealing with something. But I'll tell you this, it's going to be long rounds. They're going to be like 6-hour rounds. It's going to take forever. So get yourself somebody who has got some patience, who's not going to get frustrated in these spots, because it is going to be a long week.
Okay. So again, your two guys again, repeat for us, Matt Fitzpatrick and Patrick Reed were the two?
It was Matt Fitzpatrick, Chris Goddard up, Chris and Goddard. Then big honorable mention to Patrick Reed. He is looking very good this morning.
Yeah, I like all those.
It's a huge note on Cameron Young, like too. You're the second person I've heard say that now this morning, Rick. Yep, thank you.
There's something going on with it, yeah. Rick, appreciate you guys in a big way.
Enjoy the mayhem. Thank you so much.
Take care, y'all.
Rick Gaiman, everybody. Rick Run Good on Twitter, rickrungood.com. And, of course, he works at CBS Sports as well, covering golf. How about some soccer with Alex Crook from Talk Sport next?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season may be months away, but the best bettors are already preparing for it. Next week, VSiN releases NFL Betting Guide, or its NFL Betting Guide 1.0, packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races in the upcoming season. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175, and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And that reminds me, I have homework.
That's right, you do.
Due to tomorrow.
Got that done early.
Better get that done today. I do have a best bet. One that I like above all.
Nice.
We won't talk about it today, but it is a season win total overplay.
Ooh, okay.
That in the NFC, I'll narrow it down. No, it's not the Washington Commodores.
I kind of assumed that too. Actually,
no.
When you were a kid, Were you the kid who did his homework last minute on Sunday night?
Not the older I get, the more that was the case. Not when I was super young. When I was super young, I got less studious as the years went on.
That's interesting. The older I got, I did the opposite. The older I got,
My brother was like you. Yeah. I was the opposite. I just lost all.
I was always like, I would show up Monday with like not prepared for anything. And then as I got older, I was like, you know what? If you just get this done and get it out of the way, you don't have to worry about it. So that was me with Burke.
My entire college life was, what do I have to know? There are girls here. What do I have to know for this? You know, it's like you just completely, I think I was burned out by that time.
College was different too. That took me 2 years to figure out going to class helps.
You could actually trace my grades, I think, on a graph in the wrong direction, perfect line downwards from like 7th grade through 12. Yeah. Not proud of it, by the way. Just how it is. We get tweets beating the book. I just want to read this one. We actually have one for Paul. Paul Spohr about to join us. But this is from Minky Monkey Man. Gil, I'm so happy you brought up Alexei and the clear, pure disdain that Zlatan has for him. I have shared the same feeling since that clown played for Murica. It's definitely rooted in the fact that he wasn't very good as a player, and his asinine takes irk the real, and then he said ST at the end of his tweet, and then he comes back, he goes, it gets me so riled up I can't even finish my tweet. Dude thinks he was Pele, Maradona, and Zlatan rolled into one. Yeah, he irks people, that's for sure. Chris Heath, where's Todd? Todd is sick. Todd Wishnev feeling a little under the weather today. So Todd is unable to join us. Paulie68 reminding us that it's the 27-year anniversary. Not sure if we use that word, but 27 years to the day of the white Ford Bronco chase. Wow, 27 years tonight?
Wait, I thought we had that during the NBA Finals.
Well, the NBA Finals were still going on June 17th, apparently. Was it June 17th or was it June 14th? June 17th, he says. Aaron Bender, ER doc here, he says it's hamate bone. I thought it was hamate, but then I read someone, I Googled it, and they led me astray with hamate. Thank you. Jeff Staples, I bet they have some amazing convenience stands at these soccer games. Okay. there's that.
Not going to let that one go, huh? I bet there are some great convenience stands.
And we got two questions for Paul Spohr. Paul Spohr joins us now from Austin, Texas, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spohr, S-P-O-R-E-R. He is the host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast and, of course, does his thing at FanGraphs. Paulie, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, I think it's hamate bone.
Hamate. Sorry, I think I ordered the hamate, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, earlier.
You can get that at some good restaurants, absolutely.
By the way, is there a player, since we're talking about Jose Rodriguez's injury, keeping him out for 5 to 7 weeks, is there a player in the league off the top of your head that would have more of a detrimental effect to a team than he would be being out for 6 weeks with the Guardians?
Jose Ramirez, I think you said Rodriguez. So Rodriguez. Yeah, like that's devastating, right? Because like he is their catalyst. Here's the dirty secret, though. Nobody is that big in baseball. Nobody.
Yes.
In a lineup. True. Like that will ruin the team. Like if you completely fall off because of that, that showed some flaws in your team. He is pretty close to that, though, right? Like it's funny that we asked that before. Probably we asked it about the Yankees and Judge, even though Judge is the best player non-Otani category. I think it is almost bigger with Ramirez. But one of the things this Cleveland team does is they will make it up across four different guys. Daniel Schneeman's going to go on a run. Brian Rocchio's been excellent this year, so he might not even rise up. But like maybe Stephen Kwan will get going, right? Like you'll look at some contributions across three or four players, and it'll probably make up the difference of what Ramirez is. That's the kind of team they are. You look at them on paper, and outside of Ramirez, nothing really jumps out to you. And yet here they are year after year after year.
Yeah. Jose Ramirez, who has always been a pre-flop MVP candidate that we've always brought up, but it never happens, right? Never has quite happened, but huge to that Guardians lineup. But your point is well taken, because when you handicap these games, one player is one thing, no matter how good. It's when it's the cluster injuries, when there's more than one, that all of a sudden it exponentially increases. Here's a question from Mitchell Jenkins. Can we ask Spohr if he's seeing anything interesting out of the ABS data?
Nothing too crazy. There's a little bit about maybe some of these guys that just kind of spam fastballs. Webb and Nola are two that get cited, maybe losing on ABS. I'm not entirely sure exactly why that is specifically with their fastballs. You know, you would think some of the nibblers would, and they probably are a bit. But here's the thing. It's not like framing is done, right? Because you still only get two challenges. And despite the fact that we know that teams probably shouldn't really be using them until later in the game, at least in terms of, you know, possibly risking to lose them, we still see them used early. And a lot of guys have confidence. You know, my boy Dylan Dingler, I'm a Tigers fan for those who don't know. He ran off 5 in a game the other day, 4 catching, 1 hitting. And he has so much confidence in himself, and Hinch has given him so much confidence that he's ready to do it. But again, once you use those two, the framing is back in the picture. So this idea, I think one of the things that's gone too far is to say that framers don't matter anymore. I think going back to Cleveland, that there's a reason that they got Patrick Bailey to go with Austin Hedges. I mean, they are the Spider-Man meme of each other, not a bat between them, and yet two of the greatest framers the game has ever seen. There is still value in that. Now, maybe one day if we go all ABS, obviously it's going to be a bit different because I don't really know how you steal strikes on the robot. But now we're getting into some machinations of like, trying to deke guys and purposely bad frame to try to draw a challenge and stuff like that. So we're seeing a lot of small things, nothing too huge right now from ABS that hints to a player type or anything that I'm totally changing my opinions
on. It's a great question, though. And by the way, just personal note, I hated to see Patrick Paley get traded. I get it. He couldn't hit worth a lick by the end. At all. But just from framing, from throwing out runners, and then every once in a while, he was still clutch right at the plate.
And that's the thing with Hedges, too. Yeah. And that's why I made that comp so easily because, again, as a Tigers fan, I watch a lot of AL Central. I'm also a really big Tom Hamilton fan, the Guardians radio guy. So I watch a lot of Guardians games, and then I put the audio of Tom Hamilton on. So I'm really well in tune with this team. And, yeah, Hedges will have his moments, too. That is kind of the beauty of the six-month season, Gil, that if you play enough, and Bailey plays every day. Hedges actually doesn't. Mm-hmm. But Bailey playing every day, he'll get his moments. He'll rise up for a 3-hit game. He'll have his bomb. That will happen if you get, you know, 140 games. But they just saw that they couldn't keep taking what he was doing. Daniel Susek also rising up kind of helped facilitate that yes. move, too, where they moved on from Bailey. And so they felt more comfortable doing it. But it was really interesting to see the Guardians of all teams say, we'll take a second version of that and get the switch hitting version of it because Bailey's switch hitter and Hedges is just a righty.
Buster only, by the way, reporting what I mentioned a couple weeks ago, which is Giants are open for business. Adamas, Chapman, Devers, anybody can
It's time to rip it down. It's time to burn it to the ground if they can. The problem is those are big contracts, and can you finagle that to figure that out? But, you know, we've talked about it before on this show. Yeah, you as a Giants fan have wanted them to do that. My podcast co-host, Justin Mason, has been begging for it for years. But you've had this 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I wonder if they can get somebody to take a Devers or an Adamas contract and really start the teardown and rebuild and let Buster get his fingerprints on this from the ground up.
You have a Nationals hat on with the squiggly W. We have a question.
It's a Walgreens hat, but you can confuse it with that.
Sure.
Walgreens down with CBS.
Go Walgreens. That's right.
That's hilarious.
Michelin at Michelin Manboy says, if the season ended today, the Washington Nationals would be in the playoffs, he says. Yet DraftKings still has them at 7-1 to make the postseason. Do you think, Paul, that there's any value in that number?
I think there's some. I'd be reluctant to get too crazy on it because I keep looking at this pitching and I don't know if I can get there through a 6-month grind. I love so much of their hitting. So anytime I get sad about their pitching, I just scroll back up the page and look at their lineup and get excited again. But I love everything Foster Griffin's done coming over, but he really needs to be kind of a mid-rotation guy, not the ace. Now, he's pitching very well, and he's been their ace, not an ace, but he's been their ace. Cade Cavalli's been in and out. Those are the top two guys. I will give credit to Zach Littell. It doesn't show in the composite numbers. He still has a 5.32 ERA and a 1.35 whip, but he has completely flipped around after an impossibly bad start. I just don't think they have enough horses. Andrew Alvarez is someone to keep an eye on, but he's a 4-inning guy right now coming out of the bullpen for them, converting to starter. Will they go out and make a move, though? That's where it will get interesting. Maybe do like a half bet on it, though. I wouldn't go too crazy.
Look at that, though. Nationals, 1-game lead over the Padres and Cubbies, 1.5 over the Diamondbacks, 2 over the Pirates for the third and final wild card playoff position currently here in mid-June. Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.
You too. Bye. We'll come back. We'll recap all the bets next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, look, Kelly, there's your boy, the incident. Emerson, what's his last name? Loatzia.
Yeah.
He's got this huge DraftKings campaign here.
Yeah, he's been working for them for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. How long has he been working for him?
Yeah.
Years and years and years. Cheers.
8 years.
Good on him. National ad right there for him. Guest on A Numbers Game back in the day. We get tweets of beating the book, The Auburnist. Saw there was a parade to move the Sigma Derby machine from the D to Golden Gate. Were you guys the Grand Marshals? No, we were not. You feel snubbed by that, Kelly, that we were not the Grand Marshals of that? I don't think we should have been.
I would have liked to have been there. It would have been fun.
No. Man, we didn't need to be the Grand Marshals of that. Nick G. I missed the segment yesterday about Cy Young, but would you be interested in any Zach Wheeler? Nick, to be honest with you, no. One, listen, I think that right now, Jacob Mizorowski and Christopher Sanchez are the rightful one and two in that market based on just insane stats for Mizorowski and Sanchez just having the great scoreless inning streak. Wheeler has a 2.22 ERA, which is good. You know, in any other year, it's great, right, compared to everybody else. The issue with Wheeler, though, is when you look at that 2.22 ERA, his expected ERA is 3.02. His fielding independent is 3.38. The reason that those are much higher, or at least more than a run higher, are because he has a 2.07 batting average on balls in play, which is super fortunate, and a 90.7% strand rate, which is super fortunate as well. Those things are likely to regress to the mean. So I get it. So I would not be interested, just to answer your question, in a bet on Zach Wheeler. But again, in any other year, though, it's a phenomenal season. But not with these two, man, that he's up against. Let's go to our best bets here, Kelly. Cubs most wins June. We're still put it up there, 12-1. Not looking good, people. But I did add today, England-Croatia, I'm taking the draw. I took the draw, plus 282, the second of the four games today in the World Cup. And then Patrick Reed to win the U.S. Open at plus 50-50. I will add U.S. Open bets between today and tomorrow. But that's the one that I have in pocket right now. The tennis plays, by the way, three are done. Hit on Alexander Yala, hit on Tatiana Maria. So both of the ladies' matches ended up being victorious. Plus 108 on Ayala hits. Tatiana Maria minus 110 hits easy. 6-1, 6-2, I believe, was the final in that match. Manarino lost, though, to Arthur Ferri, minus 123. Minus 123, he lost after losing the first set tiebreaker. And now we have Ekaterina Alexandrova as a huge dog against Aryna Sabalenka, and that is not looking good, although she had many chances. Lost the first set 6-4. She is down a break in the second set. So a good effort, but not up to the task, ultimately, against the hard-hitting Aryna Sabalenka. Not over yet, but doesn't look good.
Jeez.
Down 5-3 now in the second
set. Yeah, you're right. Every time I look over there, she's storming back from something.
Every time I look over, Alexandrova's in a good position, only to have Sabalenka sort of right the ship, if you will. You, sir?
England-Croatia under 2.5 for me. Might get interesting with that one, too. Maybe I might do like a 1-1 exacta or something like that. Kind of like your draw scenario as well.
Oh, exact score?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I might do something like that. Okay, U.S. Open bets for me. Outright Scottie Scheffler. Plus 575 is where I started. I used some boosts as well. Make sure you shop around. Again, if you're going to bet 365 market, I saw plus 650 yesterday, which is a hell of a number. On Scheffler, I did also play a little bit of Spawn and Smalley, 60-1 and 100-1. Top 10s on Kurt Kitayama, 6-1. Siwoo Kim, plus 333. Top 20s on Siwoo Kim, Patrick Cantlay, JJ Spawn, Alex Smalley. We'll be adding stuff today. Everything will be up at VSiN.com.
Okay. Coolio. And you still have your two NBA draft bets, which are?
Peterson, first overall. Cameron Boozer, third overall.
Okay. Rick Gaiman was on earlier. Mint money segment from Rick Gaiman. Matt Fitzpatrick, 23-1. Chris Goddard up at 43-1. Those are his two outrights that he has, but a lot of gems. So I'll retweet the video that we sent out, the segment from earlier on the Beating the Book feed. VSiN Live feed already has it on. Alex Crook joined us earlier. Kelly, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. From Talk Sport. Alex was on with us for, I don't know, about 5.5 minutes. He's got England win to nil, Homer. England win to nil against Croatia today. He said 1-0 specifically. Didn't he also have the person who would score the goal? Did we get that, Danny? I think he also had that. We'll have to go back and listen, though. But Alex Crook, England win to nil in the second of the four again today at the World Cup. Also, later on the show, heard from Will Hill. He had a bunch of baseball, soccer, and basketball for us. Baseball, Ben Rice to walk. He's been betting this a lot. Plus 115 and then two plus walks at plus 750 for his big MVP candidate, Ben Rice. Those are his two prop bets on Ben today. Red Sox, that's the Red Sox. First five team total over 2.5 runs. And the Cubs first five team total over 3.5 against the Rockies today at plus 105. Then basketball, Giannis Antetokounmpo to the Celtics, minus 120. How about that? I think he's right. I feel it. And you see Giannis in that green uniform? Have you seen him green with the Bucks?
Okay. I think it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah. Croatia, team total under half a goal versus England today, plus 110. Everybody seized on the England-Croatia game and none of the other games, except for Chris Velika, who's bet the board. Today,
jeez.
Portugal, win to nil versus the Democratic Republic of Congo. Then, first half draw, plus 125 and under 2.5 goals in the England-Croatia game, followed by Ghana-Panama. Antoine Semenyo, at least one goal or assist, plus 150. I think this was the one that he's like, yeah, probably, I don't know. Had to do a write-up for Fox
on
that.
He did say that about that one.
Yeah. Uzbekistan versus Colombia. Colombia over 14.5 shots and Colombia first half from Chris. And then tomorrow, Czechia versus South Africa. Pavel, how do you pronounce that? Sulch?
Sure.
Anytime goal or assist, plus 175. Then Switzerland versus Bosnia-Herzegovina. Switzerland win to nil, plus 120 from Chris. And Switzerland over 14.5 shots. Then Canada and Qatar, two teams coming off ties. Canada win to nil. And Canada over 16.5 shots. Remember, that's shots attempts, not shots on goal. And then the nightcap tomorrow. Big game. Really to win the group. Mexico versus South Korea, two teams that won their first game. Both teams to score. No, meaning there'll be a zero in the final result here, minus 135. Then the United States Open from Chris. Sam Burns, T20 including ties, plus 140, and then T10 at 3-1. Tyrrell Hatton, top 20 including ties, plus 155, top 10, plus 330. Gary Woodland, your boy, minus 112 over Nikolai Højgaard. And then over, this is the winning score, over 277.5. I think that's too low also. Feels like it should be higher. And then a bunch of miscuts bets. Bunch of these. John Rahm plus 270. Tommy Fleetwood plus 230. Ludwig Åberg plus 210. Russell Henley plus 188. Brooks Koepka plus 166. And Justin Thomas plus 152. Love it. I really do think, we'll end where we started, which is I really do think the miscut bets, spray those. I think you can't go wrong being liberal with those bets in this tournament. It's Shinnecock to begin with, and then the weather on top of it. We wanted to end with this because we were the three of us, me, you, and Danny, Kelly, were kind of fascinated by this yesterday. Kyle Sheldon tweets this out. The capacity at Boston Stadium for the World Cup is 64,146. That means that someone had to put 64,146 very small pieces of blue tape over every single Gillette logo on every single seat. Because FIFA does not mess around. So now, so we thought about this as, oh my God, the tedium of this task.
It's incredible.
And then we got to imagine if one person had to do this.
I also love just of the, there's so much to think about with this, but like, Gil, with how much stuff is just, beyond automated these days, right? I mean, we talk AI. Some human being still has to walk around and put a small piece of tape.
Unless you can figure out how to get a robot to do it, AI not going to get you out of that jam.
Oh, man.
So then I don't
even know how much money you'd have to pay me. Like if it was one person.
Let's say it was one person.
I like the scenario where one person has to do it.
What would send you into just mental insanity?
Yeah, so, these type of things.
Okay, let's say, Kelly, you got to do this for 64,146 seats. You have 4 days to do this. You'd break it down, right? You go 32,000, so 16,000 and change, right? 16,000 and change for the first 16,037, let's say, each day. Then you'd break it up into hours. If you broke it down into an 8-hour day, it would be 2,000 of these per hour, 1,000 per half hour, 500 per 15 minutes. Could you do that? Could you sustain that pace? 500 every 15 minutes for the next 4 days.
Gonna have to sleep less. I think you need more time than that.
Oh, you would go crazy trying to do this.
Also, you know the worst part I'm just realizing? So, you know, it's the blue roll of, like, electrical tape, right?
Yeah.
So, you're going to cut that, and you're going to have the whole thing where the tape goes back on itself. And you're like,
no, pre-cut. You don't have to cut the tape.
It's like the hot dog eating contest. Is that what you're doing? You're pre-cutting 64,000 of these?
Somebody's got to do it. Hope it's more than one person. We've done all we could do. Prop Points is next. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen, enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.